Hello, good morning. Good evening, everyone. Because usually, okay, so I want to introduce myself for whoever that never met me yet. My name is Adi, and then I'm from IFGF in San Ramon, so our sister church, Pinol, in San Ramon. That's like IFGF Pinol in San Ramon. So basically, it's kind of like a long name. But yeah, my name is Adi, and I'm glad to meet you here again this evening. And then, what's this? It's always like this, like it's dark. Usually like there's shine of ray of sun, but anyway. So it's nice to meet you here, and then how's everyone doing? Good? I know it's kind of like not too cold, not too hot. This is perfect weather. I just said to Daniel over there, it's adem, yeah? It's very like cool weather and then not too hot. It's kind of like super weird because it should be summer, right? Summer should be scorching hot, like 120 Fahrenheit degree maybe. No? Just kidding. Anyway, so, okay. Have my slide ready, Mr. Bob? Oh, okay. Yes. Before we start, I just want to invite everyone to pray. Let's pray. Let's bow our head. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening, Lord, that we can come into your house, Lord, once again. That we now, Lord, want to prepare our heart. Open up, Lord Jesus, our heart so we can become a good soil, that we want to hear your message, Lord Jesus, so it can become a seed that can be planted into our life, and then we can apply it, and then we can do it and become blessings, not only for ourselves, but for other people as well, Lord Jesus. Please bless this message, Lord Jesus, so it's become the rhema in our heart, Lord Jesus. So whatever that we hear right now, maybe we don't understand it right away, but it can still stay in our heart, and one day we can understand, and finally we can do it for ourselves and become blessings for ourselves and other people as well. Just thank you, Lord, once again. Bless our opportunity right now to hear your words, Lord, just because we know your word is the truth and the life, and we want to receive with grateful heart. Thank you, Lord, once again. Surrender all this message only unto your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So, before we start, I forgot. Sebelum saya mulai, ada yang perlu diterjemahkan dalam bahasa Indonesia. Chinese. There's no bahasa Chinese, bahasa Mandarin. Mandarin. No? Indonesia? Ada yang perlu diterjemahkan? Nggak ada? Nggak ada? Okay, I will speak in Adi English. That's basically Adi English version. Sometimes gonna be like weird, so please don't laugh. Anyway, I haven't met all of you here. I think I see some old faces. Olga, hello Olga. Nice to meet you. So are you like on vacation or coming back here? Oh, your sister. Hello, nice to meet you, Olga sister. It's kind of weird, yeah, but yeah. Anyway, so my sermon today is called Mountaintop Experience. I mean, who's here? I just want to ask, who's here like to go to the top of the mountain? I know Rinaldi. It's gonna be, how many mountains you already been up to, Rinaldi, huh? A few? Is it like your goal to be in the like, what, the Everest mountain? Huh? No? Yeah, so mountaintop experience. You can see there, I mean, just the people and the bench over there. Somehow there's the bench up top on the mountain. You can see a good view over there. Yeah, mountaintop experience. We're gonna learn a little bit, but before we start, let's just read some word of God from Mark 9, verse 2 to 10. So, like usual, I'm gonna read first. So I'm gonna read the even verses, and then I need your help from you guys to eat the odd verses. Are you guys ready? Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna read first. Verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain, where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. 3. Four. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking to Jesus. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. 7. Suddenly, when they look around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. So that's the word of God from Mark 9, verse 2 to 10. So basically, like the title of the sermon said, mountaintop experience. So in this story of the Bible that we just read, this is like Peter, James, and John with Jesus experiencing the mountaintop experience. Who knows what is this called? Where is this? Yes, so it's in Yosemite. So I've been here like a couple times maybe. So I think this point where I see this, the Half Dome basically on Glacier Point, if I'm not mistaken, Glacier Point Peak. And then basically we, is it hiking? I think we go with car and then a little bit hiking up to the top and we can see all of this. If you ever, to the mountaintop basically, you can see most likely it's going to be like this view in any different mountain. I mean, Yosemite or Half Dome, or even maybe if you go to the Grand Canyon. Have you ever been to Grand Canyon? There's like, no, never been to Grand Canyon, Billy? Blum? Oh, it's so nice. Basically, Grand Canyon is a canyon, but it's like so high because the canyon is like very low, and then you can see all these clear views and the mountains over there. You can see the waterfall. I don't know if you can see waterfall. There's waterfall here, kind of small, but there's a waterfall basically. Yeah, you can see all of this. Even some mountains, they are so high that you can see clouds. So I think the one in the yang star itu Tamalpais Mountain. If you go there in the noon to evening, sometimes you can see like clouds even under. So very clear visions, and then there is no obstruction, no trees, no haze, no fog, because it's under you basically. And then you can see 180 degrees, it's clear, basically everything clear, very beautiful. So this is the mountaintop experience in the physical life. So I want to relate this in our Christianity life. So basically in the Christianity life, we can experience this mountaintop experience as well. I can call it like more like longer term. It's called mountaintop religious experience. Okay, so that's just that's normal. This is mountaintop experience and then mountaintop religious experience. And what Peter, James, and John with Jesus just experienced from the verse that we just read before is basically that, the mountaintop religious experience. And we want to learn from that. So what they experienced called theophany. Theo is from a Greek word, means God, and phany is from the word epiphany. Epiphany means revelation. Okay, so theophany, theo from God, and then epiphany from revelation. This kind of experience, the mountaintop religious experience or theophany, is not really a rare occasion in the Bible. Because in the Old Testament, basically, there's already one story that basically resembles this experience, what Peter, James, and John just experienced. Do you know whose story? Maybe? Whose goes to the mountain and then meet God and then bring, Bob answered correctly. Moses. So if you remember the story of Moses in the Old Testament, basically Moses goes on the mountaintop to meet God, basically. So what happened, just quick background, they wandering around because Moses just basically take care of the Israelites from the outside the Egypt. And then at one time, he needs to go to the mountain, which is Mount Sinai, to meet God. And then he said, okay, I need to go to the mountain by myself, stay here under the feet of the mountain. And then go to the mountain. In the mountain, if you remember correctly the story, it's basically like magnificent experience that Moses have over there. It's like clouds everywhere, and then thunder, lightning, and then while he was talking to God. So basically, it's supernatural experience. And then when Moses came down from the mountain, basically he brings the 10 tablets. So we know, right? Not 10 tablets. 10 commandments in 2 tablets. because it's like 10 tablets, it's like different. But 10 commandments in the 2 tablets. Not iPad, okay? It's like stone, they carve it. So basically, and then, we know the story. And then if you remember correctly, when Moses came down to the Israelites, basically the Israelites cannot see the face of Moses because the face is like so shining and then very, because the thing is, Moses just went there to meet God and then got purified and everything. So he's become clean, become so, what do you call it? Shining? Mengkilap, apa sih Inggris? Mengkilap. Sparkling, yes. Sparkling? Kayak glitter gitu. Well, anyway, you can imagine. I mean, but this is more lebay, okay? This is more lebay. So people cannot see. Maybe needs to put like sunglasses or things like that. But basically the story is like that. So Moses came to the mountaintop, meet God, and then when he came down, basically bring the Ten Commandments, become transfigured, become changed into like more shining, more sparkling. So that's the mountaintop experience that Moses have basically. And then in the Mark 9, verse 2 to 10 that we just read, is the basically the same thing happened to Peter, James, and John, and Jesus, of course. So they 4 went together to the mountain. It's called Mount Tabor. So I just want to give you like some illustration. So you cannot maybe really see. This is Peter. I just don't know who's Peter because I haven't asked. So this maybe Peter, James, John. And then this is Jesus in the middle. And then from the verse that we read, they see a vision. When they experience that mountaintop religious experience, they see a vision, which is they saw Moses and they saw Elijah. Okay, so it's in Mount Tabor. They went together, and then at the top of the mountain with Jesus, they stayed there for 6 days and 6 nights. They saw vision. So Moses there, Elijah there, and then somehow Peter and the gang, basically they feel something like supernatural, like, whoa, what is this? What is this? This is so unexplainable. So that's unexplainable because I cannot explain it, what Peter experienced. But this is like Jesus transfigured, basically. So the difference between what Moses mountaintop experienced with Peter and the gang, basically Moses meet with God. But when Peter, James, and John goes to the mountaintop, they went with God, not to meet God, but they went with God. And this is a revelation, an important revelation in the Bible, because this is the first time that Jesus revealing himself to the disciples as God. Okay, if you remember, Jesus recruits, basically, recruits the disciples when Peter, James, John, basically like fishing, and then, hey, just follow me. At that time, in their thinking, they still think that Jesus is like, oh, this is a famous preacher, famous teacher, and then I respect him, people respect him, people loves to see him, and then he wants me to be a disciple, okay, I will follow him. But at the time, human thinking way, they never thought that Jesus is really God, okay? And then this is the first time basically they got revealed, and then this is the revelation. That's why this moment of mountaintop religious experience is the moment where it changed their life. Peter, James, and John. So they knew for sure. So while on the mountain, when they see this vision, they feel they think the unexplainable. Jesus was transfigured. So if you can see the illustration here, Jesus' clothes from the verse that we read, Jesus' clothes is changing, become very white, light, and then it's like. Like a bleach, dazzling white, like a bleach. There's no more ever can be whiter than bleach, right? Bleach is super white. I mean, if you have white stuffs and then you got like stain on it, you want to use bleach so it can become white again. So it's kind of like super white, super dazzling, super, I mean, if you think that Moses is kind of like sparkling, this is like 100,000 times more sparkling. And then, not only they see Jesus transfigured, but they saw Moses, they saw Elijah as well. So Moses is the lawgiver in the Old Testament. So basically Moses is the one that bringing all the Ten Commandments in the two tablets. And then Elijah is the great prophet. So in the Jewish tradition, these two characters, which is Moses and Elijah, is the most highly regarded, basically, people in the Jewish tradition. And then they saw these two came together with Jesus, and they all changed like into like white light, white robes and everything. The vision is like that. So this is vision. Remember of this, the vision. This is what I want to you to remember today. The vision of Peter, James, and John. In the Old Testament, Moses is the lawgiver, and then Elijah is the prophets. And then suddenly Peter said, oh, I want to experience this more. I want to keep this for myself. So just, we make a tent. Let's make a tent. Let's build a tent. One for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You know, Peter is like the person that talk first and then think later. So he just like feel like, oh, this is overwhelmed with this experience. I just want to experience this more. Let's make a tent. Let's just stay here. I want to experience this more. So perhaps the meaning of this, that if we, as a human being, when we experience something new that really like excite us, we want to keep it long, very long, right? Because that's just human nature. And then that's what Peter experienced, and then Peter wants to keep it for himself. Of course, it doesn't mean that he wants to keep this like forever. He don't want to stay in this mountain forever. But he just don't have any like expression, any other expression, because he just want to feel that moment of glory again and again at that time. When Peter said that, hey, let's make three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because those three, it's kind of like the in Peter's world at the time, basically it's the most highly regarded people, like they're very holy. I want to make ten for all of them. It's like you make, and maybe in the Buddhist, or I don't know. I went to Japan, and basically in Japan, every god have their own temple, basically. God of this, God of that. So basically Peter, somehow, I cannot say stupidly, but he's just saying like that, I want to make a tent, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. So whenever I want to keep the glory, I can go to each tent. But suddenly, there's a voice thunder from heaven, said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Once again, the thunder voice said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. So that's God's voice, basically. God's voice suddenly thundered on the mountaintop to say to Peter, no, this is my beloved son, listen to him. So the son is greater than the laws in the Old Testament. And the son is greater than all the prophets in the Old Testament. The point that we want to learn is don't focus ourselves to the laws or the rules or the leaders or the prophets more than we focusing ourselves to God. Because at that time, Peter's got so overwhelmed, and then he just want to like, okay, I want to make Jesus a 10, I want to make Moses a 10, I want to make Elijah a 10. Basically, he treated them equally. He treated Jesus, Moses, and Elijah equally. And like the song that we just sang before, there is no equal to God. And basically what God said here with his thundery voice, basically, no, this my beloved son, listen to him. Because Jesus is far more important than the laws or rules and far more greater than all the prophets or our leader. So the point that we want to take is, It's good to follow rules. It's good to follow our leaders or our mentor. But the most important thing, what is your focus? Is your focus just want to follow the rules so you don't have any trouble? Or you would just want to follow your leaders and then just do whatever that he did, he say you to do, and just to make him happy or her happy? But you can do all of that perfectly, even though the people outside the church can do that perfectly. But if you don't have God as your focus, you're doing it wrong. So that is the difference. That is the difference between what Moses experienced in the mountaintop and what Peter and the gang basically experienced. So in the whole, so what happened is here, there's a vision, okay? Vision of Peter and disciples, which is very rare happen. They can see it with clarity. So remember, when you go to the mountaintop, you can see clouds under, you can see very clear the mountains over there, you can see the waterfall, although it's very small, you can see it clearly. And this is the same moment when Peter can see it clearly that Jesus is God. Before, we still maybe have doubt that, oh, is he really God? Because he said he's God, but there's a two possibility, right? He is really God or he's a crazy man, basically. But with this revelation, Peter believed, finally, that Jesus is God. Okay? Because nothing can explain this experience. And then this is the most important thing as well. In the last verse, Jesus said to Peter and the gang that as they were coming down to the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they have seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is important because this is so overwhelming for him and then Peter, James, and John. And then they can just tell everyone. And if they tell everyone at the time, people just say, oh, this guy maybe just taking some medicine and then become like crazy or anything. But the thing is, Jesus know human's heart. Just know that if we have doubt, that's why he revealed this only to these three disciples that he really trusts, basically. And then he revealed them. And then until the time is right, which is when the Son of Man is risen again, don't tell anyone. Okay? So, what happened now, basically, they understand now, yes, Jesus is God. And then, Jesus' transfiguration, so this transfiguration of Jesus, that's why I put the little notes over there. The transfiguration of Jesus is the most important thing that happened in Peter's and the disciples' at this time, because this is like a turning point, a transition where Peter's perspective got changed from Jesus, the son of carpenter, Jesus only like a great teacher, but he's far more than that. He's far more than everything, which is his God himself. Okay? So we need to understand this. We need to understand from Peter's perspective, we can always doubt. In our life right now, it's kind of hard to say, I do believe in God. Yes, I believe in God. But do you really believe in God? So maybe that's the real question that you need to ask yourself. And then through this story, we want to learn that you can experience what Peter can experience right here. Although, I want to say, the question is, how? How can I experience it now? I mean, Peter, James, and John basically goes to the mountain and then see all that clouds, all the lightning. Jesus is not even in here right now, like physically. How can I experience all of this? Yes, it is a different challenge. I mean, we cannot like maybe literally, I don't know, I don't want to go every day to the mountaintop and then waiting for the cloud and thunder and everything to feel this experience. I don't think that's the right way. But there is one way that I found we can find this experience. So how? The answer is ministry. Huh? Ministry? What is the relation basically between the experience God and ministry? Actually, this revelation for me too, until I like basically preparing of this. When you do ministry, you really gonna feel the transfiguration of Jesus, and you're gonna, it's gonna transform yourself. Let me explain a little bit. So in the story we just read, basically, yeah, Jesus' transfiguration is turning point. Basically, he believed that God is, Jesus is God. And then when we do the ministry, we need to ask our basic, questions when we want to start our ministry. Okay, let me make it clear first. The ministry here doesn't mean only like music ministry or usher and then transportation, food, refreshment, everything. Ministry in here, what I say is basically, what I want to say is basically when you believe in Jesus, you can minister anywhere. You can minister everywhere. Basically, just as simple as like maybe in the office when your coworker have struggle, you can pray for him or her. That's already part of ministry, okay? So ministry in here not really like, oh, is it music ministry or usher or whatever, okay? So when you decided to join a ministry, when you decided to ministering to people, then you need to ask yourself first, why do you want to do that? I mean, when you want to pray for someone, why do you want to do that? Do you want to be seen like as a cool person, or you're like more, what do you call it, holier than me, so you should pray for me? No. You want to pray for someone because you believe in God, and you believe in power of God to transform that person, right? You don't believe in your own power. You believe in God's power. And then that simple things already proven that you already seen God as God, basically. Because you believe in the higher being. When you pray someone, let's say someone like have struggle, financial trouble, let's say, and you want to say, oh, I want to pray for you, give strength and everything. But you want to transfer the power of God, not your power, not you pray, let's say, maybe not financial, maybe someone's sick, you want to pray for the sick. When you pray for the sick, you pray for healing. Where's the healing came from? Is it come from you? Are you like the powerful man? No, it come from God. So when you already done that, basically you already experience what Peter experienced. Now you believe that God has power to heal the person. That's why you want to pray for him. Do you understand? This is kind of like simple, but it's kind of complicated. Simple yet complicated. But this is just a revelation that, oh yeah, when you do ministry, you can see Jesus is transfigured, not only like a mythical character in the Bible, and then who knows that maybe he's God, he's not, but you really believe that he's God. That's why you're praying. That's why you're praying. And same thing with other ministry. I mean, a lot of things. So what I want to say now is basically talking about the real ministry, like real church ministry, like the music, the usher. When you join that kind of ministry, that can be an experience. You need dedication. Of course. I mean, you want to dedicate yourself. You want to basically give everything more than what you can give, basically. You want to just give your time. Sometimes you give your energy. Sometimes give your money. Sometimes the combination of that for your ministry. And then there, that moment is when you were transformed. Because before, you just selfish. You just want to think about yourself. What is the convenience for me? What is good for me? What can I get for this? What can I get if I do that? What can I get if I do this? When you start into ministry, going to ministry like the church ministry, that will transform you. Because that question is going to be out of the equation, basically. I mean, just to be frank, I mean, let's say music ministry, because I've experienced in music ministry, I don't know, is it still 6 a.m.? Practice? 7 now? Okay. You're late. No, just kidding. Yeah, because usually we always look okay, 7 or 6? 7. 7. Yeah, 7 a.m. That is already really early. I mean, because I used to do that like for years, and I still applaud them that still doing that. Because before I'm doing that every Saturday, music practice, 7 a.m., it's kind of hard for me because I have work. I mean, my work time started at 10 or 11. okay? But when you ministry, you start at 7 a.m., which is like very hard. But you want to do it. Because why? Because why? You love God. You believe in God. You believe that Jesus is God, and then you want to serve Him, and that transform you. So you humble yourself, you take your humility, okay. Something's like stinging. Hello? Hello? Okay, Skype. And then, yeah, you guys can hear me, right? Yeah. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Come in the morning and then you transform, be transformed, because you just cast away, okay. Usually I woke up at like 9 or 8, but because of this ministry, I want to minister, I want to serve. I came in the morning, 6 a.m., it's fine. It's good. And then you force to humble yourself, you force to learn to live with others. Sometimes clash happens in the ministry, and then of course we are human, sometimes can be a small clash, big clash, and then jadi like tension between each other. And we learn as a child of Christ, we learn how to forgive. We learn how to work with each other. So the transformation happened basically in the ministry. Like it or not, if you in the ministry, that kind of things must happen. And then that already transformed you. So if you already in the ministry right now, I just want to encourage you. And this is basically the it's not for in vain, basically. Whatever that you do right now, music, usher, prayer, transportation, refreshment, whatever you do right now is because you love, your love to God. And then you need to ask this basic question when you start the ministry. If you don't have this, like the basic of, I want to do this because I love God, you will be burnout. You will be burnout because you will, like, questioning again and again yourself, why am I doing this? I don't like this. This is not me, basically. And then it's just going to be hard for you. So through ministry, once again, I just want to reiterate that you can experience this transfiguration of Jesus, that Jesus is God, and you will be transformed. Like what happened with Peter. Peter see the transfiguration of Jesus in that mountaintop, and then he been transformed. He became the most radical follower of Jesus, except when he got asked 3 times, that time only. But he really like, at one time he said, I'm going to die for you because I know that you are the Lord, basically. And then, yeah, so ministry. So if you haven't joined ministry, I mean, I saw a lot of new people here. I mean, this is the right time. Just want to say, encourage you. If you want to join ministry, this is the right time. It's always the right time. There is no wrong time to join a ministry. So human nature is always think like, just want to say, in the comfort zone, basically. That's what we know from what Peter said, right? I want to build a tent. Just stay in the tent. It's easy. I mean, so you don't go to anywhere, and then basically I want to keep everything for myself. But God is more than that. God cannot be limited. So he cannot stay in the tent. So when you believe in God and you know, you see the transfiguration of Jesus and you believe in transfiguration of Jesus, you will bring God with you, not only in the tent. Okay? And then that's require changes. I mean, human nature always want to stay in the same place, stay comfort. So we sit and wait, oh, should I join ministry? Just wait. Wait for what? Wait for the right time, maybe. Wait for until some of your question about Jesus answered, until everything figured out, until I can join ministry that can give me confidence, or maybe I want to put in my resume. So that's a wrong motivation if you want to join ministry because of that. You want to join ministry because you see transfiguration of Jesus, that He is God, and you want to believe that He is God. So knowing it all again, so what are you waiting for? If you haven't joined ministry, why don't you join? So there's no right time. Always the right time to join ministry. No amount of planning can predict the right kind of change. No amount of waiting for the right time can make you ready for the transformation. So if you want to be transformed, join ministry. If you already joined the ministry, I'm pretty sure you will get transformed. as long as you believe at the transfiguration of Jesus. Okay, so I want to close, want to invite the musician to come forward. So this transfiguration means change. I mean, of course, in this ministry alone is the one that creating this church. Church IFGF church basically created by ministry, people that want to dedicate themselves. They want to give their time, their energy, their money to have a fellowship. Just a small fellowship in the 80s. I'm kind of forget what year exactly, but start from small group. And finally, right now, 2017, we have more than 3,000 churches worldwide. It started from only simple ministry of a few peoples. And now we can have churches in Africa, we can have churches in Nepal, Pakistan, anywhere. It won't start if the person in that small group in the 80s doesn't believe the transfiguration of Jesus, doesn't believe that God is God, doesn't believe that, and they don't want to serve because of that. But because they believe the transfiguration of Jesus, that Jesus is God, they want to minister, they want to serve themselves. And here we are. So transfiguration means a new way of seeing new world. Because the heart of matter, I mean, what the story that we can receive from this verse that we just read, Mark 9, 2, verse 10. It's basically transfiguration can transform you. And it will change you. And it will alter your life. So let's ask ourselves again. So what changes that Jesus asking us to make our life bring closer to Him so we can believe Him as God? So if you haven't believed Him as God, He is really God. From this story alone, we can see that Peter got transformed, we can be transformed as well. So remember the vision that I want to say. This is the vision when Peter, James, and John see Jesus among Moses and Elijah. Moses is the lawgiver. Elijah is the prophet. But Jesus is far more than them. Jesus is God. And focus only yourself to God, Jesus, by accepting Him and be ready to be transformed. Amen. Let's all stand up. Let's go.